We're back here on the Business Forum Show with our guest, the Lohman Abdo Law Firm. Bob, I'd like you to visit a little bit about business financing and some of the legal issues around some of the financing that you're aware of. In the difficult economic times that we're facing, everybody knows that financing is a real key concern for many businesses. What are your thoughts on this subject?
Well, in general, most startup companies are funded by friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's either by means of loans or convertible instruments, which allow loans to be converted to equity or ownership in the company. Or the SBA has a number of programs that try to promote businesses, both on the real estate side, the ownership of real estate, as well as on the business side.
Mm-hmm.
There's conventional bank financing, and conventional bank financing in this market is really difficult. There are venture capitalists that will help in connection with businesses, but most often you have to be up and running and have some basis either in terms of product or intellectual property or something that's worthwhile that they see some long-term benefit for. But if you try to do a private offering, essentially, you have to comply with the securities laws. Anytime you get financing, whether or not it's debt or equity, depending on the time horizon on when you pay the debt back, and it doesn't include bank financing, you have to comply with both state and federal securities laws. There are exemptions. Mm-hmm. There are isolated exemptions in Minnesota that you can bring so many people into it without doing a document to offer an equity or debt instrument. But the problem is you'd like to do a document in general because that sets forth what you're telling everybody. When you talk orally, there's going to be misunderstanding down the line, and somebody will say it's a he said, she said scenario as to who did what and whether there was fraud or whether there was a misleading that's in there. You have to be able to disclose all the material facts and not omit material facts mm-hmm. in any fundraising that you're involved with. And the consequence of not doing that is you have the government on your tail, both administratively, civilly, and you have the individuals that you sell to who have a civil right against you, and possibly criminally. So you want to make sure you see all these people that have gone to jail recently for raising money fraudulently, using it wrong, not using it the way they said they were supposed to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, that's not what happens unless you have bad wrongdoers that are involved in it. But,
sure.
But you want to make sure that you do that. And if you deal with sophisticated investors, people that are worth more than $1 million, people who have annual income of $200,000 to $300,000, depending upon whether there is a couple, those types of investors are exempt from the registration requirements. And usually you have one-on-one conversations with them when you try to sell your concept to them. So there's a number of ways that you can do it conventionally, fundraising. There's this crowdfunding. Jeff can talk about that, which is supposedly the new fad that's supposed to be coming through, make it easier for people to raise money. And there's there's Kickstarter, which I've seen a lot of, which is it's a non-equity participation in a business. Essentially, they're doing it for shirts or other things that you can give them as you go. Kickstarter has been very successful in helping people raise money for those who want to support an art or something else.
As Bob mentioned, there are a variety of exemptions from this general rule of registration for issuing of securities. And of course, no small business wants to go through security registration because it's expensive. And registration, we're talking about a public offering of shares, okay? The disclosure requirements, as Bob mentioned, the paperwork to even solicit what they call an accredited investor, a sophisticated investor,
sure,
are significant. So in this last year, federal government passed a new law called, it was part of the Jobs Act, that permitted crowdfunding. Crowdfunding in lay terms is the online sales of securities to investors of less net worth than what you would typically have. Okay, mm-hmm. everyday investors.
All shapes and sizes.
It sounds like a wonderful idea. The problem is it's still part of the law is that the Securities Exchange Commission, the SEC, has to promulgate rules for how this is all going to play out. What are the disclosure requirements going to be? What types of paperwork? What types of webs? What do you have to do to be a approved website, a portal to do crowdfunding? And there was just an article in the Wall Street Journal last week that one of our colleagues emailed around to us here at the firm, and lo and behold, the SEC has not. They're supposed to have rules together by January of next month, and lo and behold, they don't have them together yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a problem. There's businesses that want to use it. Technically, it's on the books and legal to do, but there is zero guidance in terms from the SEC, which is the regulatory authority for securities, in terms of how you comply with this law. What do you have to do? You know, what paperwork do you have to provide? So it's one of those that I would put in the category of to be determined in terms of how beneficial this is actually going to be, if nobody's using it because there are no rules. Because what you know, the beauty of what the current securities regime is, there's safe harbors. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this, then you haven't, then you aren't going to incur any penalties for non-registering. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the crux of the regulatory framework for the SEC. But if you can see the problem, if you have no rules, if you have no safe harbors created, how is somebody going to know if what they're doing is legal?
Well, and I'm just going to chime in here to make this even more murky. I hear Bob and Jeff talking about these disclosures. So you're showcasing your company in front of investors. You're talking about, you know, how successful, you know, all these, you know, great disclosure statements. Keep in mind that those disclosure statements can also eliminate potential patentability for inventions. So it's almost a backwards balance between what you can disclose and what you can't disclose in terms of satisfying the investment requirements and protecting your intellectual property. So, you know, again, another one of those reasons to have, you know, some form of trusted counsel kind of helping guide you through these particularly murky areas.
Yeah, even if, let's just say that, you know, another month that the SEC does come out with crowdfunding rules, it still is the sale of a security. It still does carry with it civil, administrative, and possibly criminal exposure for violation of those laws, like Bob mentioned. And you do need to have legal counsel that's knowledgeable in that area to make sure that you're doing it right. Or there could be some major problems.
One of the things, Dave, that I'd like you to comment on is Bob mentioned about some of the various funding that's available out there and some of the legal issues around some of that funding. But one of the things I'd like you to comment on is really how many businesses are prepared to the level that Bob and Jeff and Greg have been describing here. Because we really have a wealth of knowledge here at the table, and we see a limited percentage of businesses who are really in the place that they're talking about. I'd like you to comment on that.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. You know, I think it's pretty clear as we listen to these guys talk that they really know what they're talking about. They know what you need to watch out for. The sad piece is the majority of business owners out there, and by majority, I mean 80 to 90% of the business owners out there don't have any idea about most of this stuff. They don't have most of it in place. They've taken the shortcut or the easy route to get something set up the cheap way, and so far nothing bad has happened to them. There's only really a few small percentage, like 10 or 20% of all business owners out there, small business owners, that have properly set up their businesses. They've got a lawyer, a good knowledgeable lawyer that set up their business properly. They've got the documentation, and they're continuing having the conversations with them. That's the other piece of this is, and I guess it's the question I have for you guys, is all of this stuff that we've talked about, if I'm going to go open up a new business and you hammer me with all this stuff to begin with that I have to do, I'm not going to remember most of it. I'm going to get, you know, this little piece set up to begin with. You know, it's pretty clear I need to be communicating with you on a fairly regular basis. I need to be changing some things. How do I continue to get information as far as what I need to know to be paying attention to? And then secondly, how often should I be talking to you?
You know, our philosophy is to try to be a team player. Essentially, we want to be part of the team of the owner, his accountant, maybe his financial manager or wealth manager person. We want to be part of the team rather than be a director. Lawyers are counselors as well. Mm-hmm. And we have spent a significant amount of time among the three of us and other members of our firm in representing businesses for a long period of time, from which we've been lucky enough to gain experience from their successes and their failures. as well as our own successes and failures.
Sure.
And we bring that to the table as well as the legal knowledge when we talk with business owners, and we try to help them think long term. We try to give them the benefit of our experience so they don't have to go through the experience themselves. Usually you become smart when you do the wrong thing, you know, and then you don't do it the next time. So we try to give some guidance with respect to that as we go forward, and we try to be a team member. You know, lawyers, we understand that the business owner is usually undercapitalized or doesn't have a whole lot of money when they go into it. It's difficult for anybody, whether mm-hmm. we were on one side or the other, to pay for somebody's expertise and connection with it. We try to find creative means of dealing with that, but of course we have our bills to pay as well, so we have to be cognizant of that and make sure that we do it in a way that it benefits both of us.
We've got a break coming up here on the Business Forum Show. To remind our listening audience, we're visiting with attorneys Bob Abdo, Jeffrey O'Brien, and Greg Perlberg from the Lohman Abdo Law Firm, located on the 20th floor of the IDS building in downtown Minneapolis. I'm Kevin Hunter. We'll be back on the Business Forum Show in just a moment.